This morning, it was a new song for me. The quartet sang in the morning service. I don't know, say I do if I'm tired of the way you live, tired of the way you're living. So that was good. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the choir song about the Bible standing. That was a new song for me this morning. Also, Miss Karen sang. Is that the first time you sang the song about glorifying? You sang it before? I had a couple of people tell me, and that's the first time I ever heard her sing that. I guess we just forget things. So, but it was a good song about wanting to glorify God and not glorify ourselves. And then always already enjoyed the music this afternoon. You say, Pastor, you're not even halfway through. Why are you preaching now? Well, I know a couple things. You guys just got done eating. And that you're looking forward to the music, and if you come in and hear the preaching, it might put you to sleep. So if we make the preaching a little bit earlier, maybe you won't fall asleep during because you know more music's coming. I'm just joking. You guys always do a good job. There's a few of you that sleep, only one or two that snore, so that's good. So so as long as you're not snoring, I guess it'll be okay. I think you guys do a really good job. I'm thankful for it, how you respond to the preaching and teaching and how you listen. And for the most part, most of you guys look like you're happy to be here. Some of you guys, I'm not sure about. When if you could see what I see on some of your faces, you guys probably would change your face. So, but that's okay. Matthew chapter 18. And like I said, it's not a real message. And it's not going to be a very long message like we do for Inspirations. Something that's a little bit just a challenge. We always do more preaching than we do singing, but during this time period, I think it's good to also have Singspiration, let God speak to your hearts. I don't know about you, I learned Bible doctrine from the songs that we hear about Brother Jesse talking about humbling himself and how we need to humble ourselves. It's a way we draw near to God. I like the song Mix Maxie sang about, he's the God of the mountaintop. But he's also the God of the valley, and that's good stuff. And so it's something that can encourage you and kind of lift up your heart and lift up your soul. As we talked about this morning, delighting, not just obeying, but learning how to delight. It goes along with our theme about delighting in the Lord. And as we learn in Psalms chapter 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thy heart. That we're trying to get past just serving. It's sort of like last week when we talked about the presence of God. We're not just looking at the presence of God and saying, okay, I have to behave myself because God sees everything I do. But instead, we're delighting in the presence of God because God does see everything I do. It's not just the bad, he sees the good, and God's promises he can work all things together for good. So if we can learn to take pleasure in God's presence, it changes everything. But so often, I know most of us, including myself, often, I can't do this because God, I don't want God to see me, I don't want to disappoint God, the fear of God, all those things. But if we can learn to get pleasure and take pleasure in the presence of God, and it changes the way we do things. We get excited about serving the Lord. And we looked in the first week in this year, we talked about David, talking about how he loved the statutes of God and delighted in the statutes of God. And how in the world can you delight and enjoy and take pleasure in the commandments? It's because who gave them and they're what's best for us. This morning we looked about how God's guidance, and we looked about delighting in God's guidance, and we looked at that verse in Psalms 37 and talked about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way, and talking about how God delights in the way of a good man who's doing God's will and walking according to God's plan. And those famous verses in Proverbs chapter number 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. So he talked about the preeminence of God's guidance. He knows what we need. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what it's going to be like in 10 years, 20 years, 100 years. He knows exactly what you need, the circumstances he has put you in. And we talked about that this morning. Talked about the promise of his guidance. He's told us if we lack wisdom, if we ask of God, that he will give it to us. He said in Proverbs chapter 3 that he will direct our paths. There's a promise there that we can hold to. But then we learned about that practice. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Practicing the things, the commandments, practicing the things that God commands us in the direction he gives us and the guidance he gives us. And that means that when we believe, I believe in God and I believe we should follow God. But when it comes to this issue, we don't delight in it. So this I was praying and asking God, I was going to look at a couple of things this morning. Of course, we didn't want to make this message super long, but a couple of things about things that sometimes people don't take delight in when it comes to the commandments of God. And I began asking God and thinking God and praying to God, what exactly can we nail this truth home with and see things God's way instead of seeing things our own way. Remember what it said in Proverbs 3? You know, lean not unto thy own understanding. It says also about not looking at things and making things right in your own eyes. So what is this? And so what we're going to look at today is a little bit about reconciliation. And I know many of you have come and talked to me, so this is not aimed at one specific person. He says, he's preaching this because I said something. I'm never going to say anything ever again. It's not the case. One thing that people do not like to do is they do not like to do the biblical way of reconciliation. They'd rather just keep things bottled up. They'd rather keep things inside, and they'd rather just ignore it. And that harms the relationships that are inside God's house. And that harms the relationship among brothers and sisters in Christ, and also husbands and wives. Now, let me also make this point. And once again, this is going to be just very easy and very poignant, and you'd be able to get it. If you can get over something and never remember it again, does not mean you have to approach somebody. Sometimes people have said something to me, and it would have been very easy for me to take offended. I'm not super Christian at all, don't get me wrong, but it would be very easy for me not to be offended by what someone said because, you know, what they say. Consider the source, and if the source isn't very reliable or the source is not what you want to be like, then who really cares? And I can dismiss it and never hold that against the person. But what I'm talking about is when individuals and people will come to me and say, so-and-so did this to me, this offended me, and I can't get over it. This is something I need to work on. This is something I need to do. And you know what the first thing I tell them to do? Okay, so what does the Bible say? You should go and talk to them. And that's what it says here in Matthew chapter 18. Let's look in verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. So that's the first thing I say to him. Hey, have you gone and talked to them? Why would I do that? No, I'm telling you that this bothers me, and you know, pray about it, and I want you to, and you can, and once again, there's safety in a multitude of counselors. You should enjoy coming and speaking to your pastor. You should be able to trust your pastor. Your pastor loves you. Your pastor prays for you. But this is something that not only in your life, not only in my own family member's life, but also in my own life, this is a difficult thing to do. But this is God's guidance. This is God's lessons. This is God's way of doing things. This is what God is saying. Here is the best way to handle it. What do we think? Best way to handle it is for me just to get over it. And that's good, but most of us can't. Most of us instead put it down deep inside, and we put it down deep inside, you know what we do? As we begin not interested in working with that person, not enjoying seeing that person. We don't feel like we can worship with them. And even though they're sitting in the same pew or sitting in the same church house, we have some type of hardness or bitterness that is inside of us. And we realize that we're upset with that person and we're upset with that individual. And that is causing a discord amongst us. And I might go tell my friend, I might go tell my family, but I'm never going to approach that person. But what does the Bible say? This, like I said, there are a lot of things that we could have brought up, but this is one the Lord says, and this is one of the ones that people come to me, and they talk to me about it, and they say, Pastor, I really, and I says, well, have you talked to them? And they're like, I can't do that. But look at the end of the verse. That's what really interests me. Thou hast gained thy brother. So what is the purpose of reconciliation? The Bible says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Now, I like that verse because that verse seems like it gives you a little bit of an out. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, when it says, if it be possible, that means that there are some people that are going to be impossible to deal with. There are going to be some people that are impossible to live with. Ever met somebody like that? I've met some people. Anybody in your house like that? Are they sitting next to you? Maybe not. But at the same time, the Bible says, if it be possible. So God is presenting the possibility here of how to fix things his way. We like to have our own ways. maybe if we go around it this way or we go around it that way, maybe if we figure this way out and we kind of manipulate it, and maybe they'll understand this or understand that. What does the Bible say? It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, it's kind of interesting when you read that. He says, if thy brother trespass against thee. Doesn't mean that the person who has offended you should go to them. There's another spot in the Bible where it talks about if you've offended somebody, go to them. I get that. But there's a lot of people out there, you know what, that doesn't even realize they offended you. And there are some who offend you, and they do it for a reaction. They do it because they don't care. But you know what? They're spiritually, they're not spiritually dead, but they're just annoying. Is that a good word? Spiritually dormant, and the idea that they're not growing. If you're trying to antagonize somebody to just get a reaction, to try to make them sin, there's something wrong. But this is saying, moreover, if thy brother, talking about a believer, shall trespass against thee, he should go. That's not what it says. It says, go and tell him his fault. Tell him and explain to him what has caused the trespass, what has caused the offense. And do it, look what it says, between thee and him alone. Go to that person individually is what the Bible says. What is the idea of reconciliation? What is the purpose of it? It's to bring glory to God. Galatians 6:1 says this. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, and I know that's talking about sinful ways, but I believe this can apply to this also. Ye which are spiritual, meaning that your heart is right, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. This is not to go and rub somebody's face and you messed up, you've done wrong, and you need to get it right. That's not the spirit of meekness. It even says earlier in the book of Matthew about as you bring your sacrifice to the altar, leave your sacrifice at the altar and then go find this person that you have offense with or that has offended you or you have aught against your brother, because this is more important than even the sacrifice, because your heart needs to be right and your heart needs to be at a spot. And you say, they're not going to listen. Ever heard that before? I can't go talk to them. They're not going to listen to me. I heard it. I've heard it more than once. I've said it more than once. But what you've done is you've taken God out of the equation. If by faith you want to live for the Lord, if by faith you want to trust the Lord with all your heart and you want to lean not onto your own understandings, what you have done by approaching a person with the spirit of meekness and with a heart of reconciliation, that you want to gain a brother, that you want to have someone that you work together inside a church family and inside the whole family of God to be able to express and work together to reach people for Christ, what you've done when you follow the things the Bible way, you have done things God's way. And no longer are you responsible for that. But when you hold something in your heart that you cannot get over and that's something you must and need to talk to somebody else and you refuse to do it, guess what? You're not doing things God's way. You're not doing things by faith. And so I want to encourage you this morning to keep on going. And it says, verses 16 and 17, I know it goes even a little bit farther, a little bit deeper. It says, but if he will not hear thee. You ever had somebody that doesn't want to listen to you? I've had that. There, then take with thee one or two more. And with that, this is referencing to church discipline. And I know not just because someone has a disagreement, they're going to have church discipline. I understand all that. But there's a scriptural principle here. If there's one person who does not understand or one person who does not want to listen to you and it means so much to you, some things you should just get rid of. Some things you should just get over and not be so self-centered and letting little petty things bother you. But if it's something that needs to be taken of, take someone who's spiritual. Take someone who you trust spiritually. It can be a spiritual leader. I wouldn't mind going and helping and talking to somebody else, especially if they're both inside your church family, and saying, I want to hear your side of it. And if I'm telling you, if it's petty, you need to stop it. And approaching somebody about it doesn't mean you're going to change that person's mind. But what you've done is you've done things God's way. And as you do things God's way, what do you do then? You give God a chance to work. You give God a chance to work in that person's heart. When a person with a pure heart and a pure mind comes to someone and wants to reconcile, and so that way they can be full of joy, and so that way they can be joyful and have a loving relationship with another believer in Christ, it changes. I don't know how many times I have gone to someone and said something, hey, can you help me with this? This is something that we need to work on, something I didn't really think was right or best. And 90% of the time, it turns out great. 90% of the time, sorry, I didn't realize it. And sometimes the response is you need to listen, because sometimes what you're offended by was a reaction they were doing because of something you did. And you should take your time. You should be led of the Holy Spirit when to do it, and do it as a matter of obedience. You should give God a time to prepare the way, and God an opportunity to talk to you and speak to you, so that way you can resolve your responsibility and the offense with one another. Reconciliation is never if. It's, please help me understand this. Look what it says in verse 17 then. It says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, talking about the two or three witnesses, it says that in the mouth of the two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now, I know that's referring to church discipline. That's referring to a little bit farther. There's other spots in the Bible that deal with this, but I thought this was a good spot to help us understand reconciliation. We're not going to throw somebody out of the church just because of the fact that you have a disagreement with them. But with the Bible and the principles that are here is, go to an individual. They're your brother and sister in Christ. Whatever it is that you have an issue and a problem with, you know what's going to happen? It's something that you're giving God a chance to work. Say, Pastor, they're not going to listen. Well, that's not your job to decide. What's your job to do is to be obedient. It's to be faithful with the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's something that we should be obedient with, and something that we should be willing to do. Say, Pastor, I've tried that. I even brought another person with me, and it's some two individuals that are, you know, maybe butting heads there, not getting on. You know what you do then? You just leave it up to the Lord. You've done your responsibility. You don't keep on bringing it back. There is an individual that's not a part of our church anymore that used to, I approached them, I even went and talked with them, and they still couldn't get over it. And I says, you got to let God do the decision. I says, I can't speak on your behalf. I can't speak on that person's behalf. God's the only one that knows it. And by faith, guess what you do? You leave it in God's hands. You've done your part. If you've been offended, you leave it before the Lord, and you ask the Lord to help you with what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your emotions, what's going on in your life. You don't continually bring it up. What about this? What about this? That's not a heart of reconciliation. But instead, we leave it with God and ask God to work and for God to move. I think reconciliation is something that can bring glory to God. I don't know about you, but Christ is magnified when two believers can set aside their differences to be able to work together. Proverbs chapter number 6, it talks about the things that God hates. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, and feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that, this last phrase, he that soweth discord among brother. Now, I'm not saying that because you won't approach somebody about somebody offended you or something they need to work on or something, that you're sowing discord. But at the same time, you're not giving a chance for them to work. You're not giving God a chance. You're not giving God the opportunity to work and do it. If you can get over and never remember it and still serve them and serve with the Lord, then great, do that. I've done that numbers of times. But there has been times when I had to go to someone and say, we have an issue. I don't know how many times people have come to me and said, Pastor, this bothered me. And I can see why. And most of the time I would say, I'm sorry, I didn't intend it that way. Some of you know my goofy personality I have. I like to joke with people. I like to pick on people. I don't know how many times I've had somebody come up to me and say, hey, Pastor, what you said offended me. I was just trying to have fun and a little bit. And so I try to be very careful now to people. And some of you know, I says, I'm only joking. It's because of the fact that I don't want people to be offended by it. But I don't know those things until someone says something to me. And when I can say to somebody, I'm sorry, I didn't intend to do that, what do? You gain a brother. You actually get closer. So let me encourage you. Don't listen to people's excuses. Don't listen to people when they sit there and say they are whining about somebody else or another. Say to them, have you talked to them? That's the Bible way of doing it. And if they have, say, you know, let's pray about it. Maybe even offer to go with them. Ye that are spiritual. It's not to get gossip. It's not something that is going to try to get and win a victory. I don't know about you, but the politicians today have just drove me crazy with the shutdown and the political games that people are playing with one another. It seems it's the people that are supposed to be there serving the people doesn't seem like anybody's serving anything but their agendas and not the people, and it's a game. That's not what reconciliation is. It's not showing power over someone else. It's not showing I'm right and you're wrong. It's gaining a brother. It's making sure that your heart is right. And I can honestly say, I've looked at certain people and say, you know, I didn't do anything there wrong, and my heart is right before you and before God, and we just had to agree to disagree, and we could still be brothers and sisters in the Lord or brothers in the Lord. And that's something that happens, and I understand that. We're all different. We're all, but our relationships with one another is worth trying to do things the Bible way. Now, I don't think you should be overly sensitive. I don't think you should run around and say, you offended me because you didn't eat my piece of pie, or you offended me when you didn't shake my hand. Yeah, you offend on petty things like that. And I mean, that does happen sometimes. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about there's something that's in your heart that a Christian brother or sister said to you that bothers you, that you know that they could use the help by letting them know. Sometimes they don't even know until someone brings it up. What you did here could be taken the wrong way. Sometimes people are oblivious to it. Sometimes they know what they're doing and they don't care. But when someone approaches him, what do then? You give God a chance to work. You give God a chance to speak to them. You give God a chance to dive into their heart and say, remember what so-and-so said? Remember you giving God a chance. But when you remain silent and you just bury it down, you don't give God a chance. So all those things we talk about this morning, delight in God's guidance. So when you're delighting in it, find pleasure in the fact that you could be helping a brother and sister. You could be gaining a brother and strengthening relationships because of the fact that someone's willing to approach you. One last thought and we'll be done. If you're the person that's being approached because someone's accusing you of doing something that offended them, don't be defensive about it. Instead, listen, prayerfully consider. Criticism is something that some of us could use some of the time if done in the right way. I don't know if criticism is the right word, but encouragement to switch or change something. I've learned a lot from people over the years and grown a lot. Miss Karen corrects me all the time with my English. She says she doesn't do it all the time because she said she could do it every single time I speak. But when she mentions something to me, normally I try to fix it. There's a few words I used to say all the time that my wife so kindly would remind me. I said, you shouldn't say that. And every once in a while, I still say them. But you know what? I would still be saying improper grammar and still be saying wrong things if nobody ever mentioned it to me. Please, as you're leaving, do not critique every single word I say, okay? But at the same time, I can learn and grow just like all of us can learn and grow. And we are going to have a very short time of invitation. So let's go ahead and stand our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, what's the purpose of this?